Now we should be joined live on the phone by filmmaker Letitia Agudo. Letitia, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Good, thank you.
A real pleasure, Letitia. And this morning we're talking about your latest project, which I believe is called Lady Betty.
That's right, yeah. It's an animation short. It was Frameworks, which is funded by Screen Ireland and RTE as well. So that was a story brought to us by Lorraine Harton, who's also a lecturer in Collège de Doulig. That's where we met. And she was doing some research on lesser-known female characters in history. And somebody told her about that character, so she brought it to us, initially thinking maybe we could make a documentary. But Paul McGrath, who's my husband and partner in the company, he's the director of the film, he thought all the contrasting stories and the fact even that it's unsure whether the story was real or not would make for a brilliant kind of comedy horror animation. So that's what we went for.
So am I right in saying it is an animated piece, Letitia?
Exactly, yeah, it's an animation short.
Can you tell us about the challenges that you face when you make an animated piece as opposed to a real live people piece?
Yeah, well, most of the challenges animation-wise would be felt by Paul himself.
Okay.
He was the only one of two animators, and they did it in a program called Moho, which allows them, he builds bones for the characters, etc. So it's very time-consuming and it's very detailed. So the process in that case, obviously we worked a lot on getting the story right. First, Lorraine found the information, made a short list of all the different aspects. The four of us, the scriptwriter as well, Bobby Maloney, we looked at the story, then a first draft of the script, etc., etc. So until the script was locked, as it would be as well for fiction, we wouldn't go forward. So after that, Paul creates a storyboard, and then an animatic, which using his own voice or our own voices, just to time out the script with the pictures, basically with the drawings. After that is when we recorded the voices of the actors, Colm Meaney in Spain, actually in Mallorca, and David Pearce here back in Ireland. He edited the voices together, and the animation started first, the construction of the characters, after all the design has taken place. So it's a long, long process, and it was just, there's a few designers. We got my dad involved as well, who's an artist, because we actually applied before with the idea to Screen Ireland, and we got shortlisted, but we didn't get it. So Paul wanted to rehash the design a little bit, and we're a bit stuck in relation to colour. So we asked my dad one summer in 2019 or 2018, I can't remember now, and he gave us a few colour ideas and swatches, and Paul went from there, particularly for backgrounds. So in the summer of 2019, we got to record Colm Meaney. We decided, no, we're doing it live. There was no notion of the virus at all yet. So we went over to Mallorca, and it was brilliant. And we recorded just him separately on his own in our recording studio there. And then the very, very lengthy process starts, which is mostly down to Paul. He was managing he was doing production management as well, because animation is something I'm not that familiar with as the process. I was taking care of the actors, the contracts, the money, and then now, publicity and festivals and all that sort of stuff.
Is this the first time you've worked on an animated piece, Letitia?
No, it isn't. Because out of our mixed backgrounds in relation to where we come from, I come from, theatre first and then fiction, but Paul comes from animation exclusively. So when we got together, we ended up doing documentary first because that was our first funded opportunities. But we've done a few other things for RTE, actually. We're developing a series with them and for them at the moment for children. But animation is something that more recently Paul has gone more back to animation and I've gone back to live action, even though we both and Bobby as well would work on the stories together and the ideas. But that was always Paul's background. So we've done a few things, short content, which is in our on our website, wakala.com, another short for RTE, to develop things that then didn't happen, like with everything else in the industry. You develop a lot and, a small percentage goes forward, basically, with funding.
Now, I think you mentioned the name of your company just now, Wakala, am I right?
Yes, that's right. You pronounced it really well. Hardly anybody can say Waka. We made a bit of fun of that in the credits, actually. But yeah.
When did you start this company, Letitia? And can you tell us a little bit about the work that you've done?
Yeah, we started it in 2006. Because we got funding for a documentary from, I'm from Andalusia in the south of Spain, and the Andalusian TV there gave us funding for a documentary set in Mexico. It was about indigenous Mexican women in the south of Mexico in Chiapas, and the impact on their lives of the Zapatista uprising, very different from Lady Betty. But it's something, you know, when we were starting up and we were young and what do we do, etc. And we just came across that story because we go to Mexico a lot. My mother's an anthropologist and all her work was based there. So through following her and her work, we kind of came across this subject matter and we decided to go there. So we stayed with documentaries for a while, but I was really missing scripted and writing. And Bobby Maloney, who was a student of mine in College to Dulag, actually joined us in 2015. And he loves live action as well and writing and editing. So we started going back into it. I started going back into it. And also through animation, we go back to scripted as well, and something quite tight, I suppose, quite structured, because Paul and I love comedy and love quite structured comedy from the script all the way to the finished product, basically. So we're kind of finding our voice much later, but yeah, we started in 2006, but it's a very tough industry to find your feet, to find funding and to grow in, basically, yeah.
I can imagine. Now, I think I'm right in saying, Letitia, that you had the premiere of Lady Betty the other evening out west, am I right in saying?
That's right, yeah. The Galway Film Fly was on Friday, and we have the absolute pleasure of having an outdoor screening, which is, we were so giddy, you know, after 2 years to be able to do that. So, yeah, it was brilliant that we could do it with an audience. It was fantastic. The storm held out until after the screening. And we could hear and see the reaction of the audience, which is, for something that has comedy in it, is essential. So Paul, I looked at him and he had one, it was through headphones, so whatever the noise that was happening around us, you could hear it really well. And the setup was fantastic, the organization of it was brilliant. And Paul had one headphone on, one off. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I want to hear the reaction, you know, I want to hear the laughter. And we got the laughter. That was great. So people really enjoyed it. It was brilliant. It was really enjoyable.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, you touched on this earlier, Letitia, but again, how difficult is it to get a piece of work like this out there?
It's tough. I mean, this is a short, and it's something that, you know, maybe people that don't work in the industry don't know. In relation to production, if you get money, there's all the time and effort you have to put into it. But even to get there, to get funding, and we have done work ourselves that we have invested our own money or with very little funding, etc., because we just wanted to do it. So, I mean, this idea, as I said earlier, is from 2018. Or we put it in for funding in 2018. It's almost more painful when you get to a shortlist, and then it's like, no. Naturally, because there's a lot of competition. There are more and more people making everything and making shorts and making videos. And so it was great that we're able to get the feedback, go back, rework on it, and put it ahead. So it's really tough. And animation and live action require a lot more money, more time, more people than documentaries would. That's also why we started with documentaries. I mean, initially it was just Paul and I. We were doing camera sound, I was editing, we were doing everything ourselves, and we were really self-contained, which is good and bad, because we're absolute rubbish networkers. That's the worst thing you can do in the industry. You need to network, you need to la la. We just focused on the work and doing the work and putting it out there, maybe a little bit naively, but we just, you know, that whole thing of a group of people, a glass in your hand, and going, oh, hate it, we hate it. And Bobby hates it as well. So there's three rubbish networkers there in the company. We just love doing the work and developing it and doing it. But we're trying to get better at it and make connections. And what we're doing now is our identity. We're a company of creatives, and the short content we do ourselves, we produce ourselves. But for the bigger material, say series or features, we pair up with studios or with other production companies to expand and to be able to do it, basically, because we're not producers in the traditional sense of the word. That's such a skill and such a complicated role, I think, of being able to finance, to place a film or a series internationally, to make those connections. So that's what we're doing now, anyway. So we're finding our feet, and what we really love to focus on as well, which I think you have to sort of focus your energies, because it takes so long. I mean, with somebody here, a short 2 years. Like, are you joking? No, that's what it takes, you know. And a feature can take 5 years. Is probably a very conservative period of time for a feature or a series out of your life. So it is a vocation, essentially.
Oh yeah, you know, some of the animated things that you see on telly, a 24-minute episode takes 6 months. That's got a team of people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very, very time consuming. It's expensive. It requires a lot of people. We're very lucky that within Wakala there are a lot of skills, I suppose, because Paul can sort of start and finish something completely himself. He's also really good at special effects. So anything, particularly live action that I've done, remove, add, etc., he can do that seamlessly. So it's a luxury, and it's a hindrance as well, because we haven't needed to go out and link up with other people. But obviously we need and we want to do bigger stuff and to do more ambitious work. So hopefully this will be the start of it.
Now, we Irish, Letitia, are a very creative nation. We're very artistic. And if there's anybody listening to this now who would dearly love to be the next Letitia Agudo, what's the best advice you can give them this morning? Is there courses that they can do? What advice would you give them to give them that head start?
They'd have an easier life out of it if they didn't want to be the next Letitia Agudo, because it's been quite hard work. But in relation to courses, well, I run myself the BA year in film and television production in College de Duleg, which is a fantastic college. They can do there or elsewhere a HND, higher national diploma course in media, in film production and media production, anything like that, and then get a degree. What we try to do with these degrees basically make the students get a lot closer to the industry. So at more than half of the tutors in the degree would be for professionals as well, like myself, and we bring in loads of guest lecturers. There's work experience modules. So we connect them to the industry in the way we want them to make their projects and their work, but also in relation to knowing and networking and knowing how things work, and knowing there's a wide variety of jobs out there, because sometimes people come through college and everybody wants to be a director or write a director, which is brilliant, of course, but there's so many creative jobs out there, and they might find out in the course of their education or their training, even when they start working, that there's something else there that is more suited to them. So the biggest advice I can do is the independent route is the toughest route, and we found that out ourselves by being independent and going independent. And when students tell me, oh great, I want to have my own company, how do you do that? I say, wait, just work for other people, work for loads of other people, good companies that are out there, other films or other production or animation studios, etc., and then see if you want to set up your own company, your own studio, have that experience, have those connections, and then go forward. So that would be the biggest piece of advice. Train yourself really well. Do loads of network, even more, especially if you're shy and rubbish at it like we are, and then see if you want to go independent. You may never want to go independent, because film is and animation and TV is their industries where you absolutely need other people for the work and for getting ahead, basically, yeah.
Absolutely, and for people who'd like to see Lady Betty, how can they, Letitia?
Well, now it's starting its festival run, so each festival that we send it to, we think, even if things go back to semi-normal, we'll have a hybrid model, so they'll be able to watch it online and watch it in maybe an outdoor setting again or a cinema setting. So because he's starting his festival run, it's not available publicly on any link. But obviously we're going to send it to many more festivals in Ireland, and if we get selections there, then it'll be available as part of the festival. So after Galway, you know, we're going for the others, and we'll announce the news on Facebook, on Twitter. Lady Betty has an Instagram account as well, and they can follow the news, basically. So the next Irish festival is where they'll be able to watch it in Ireland. And this, in the same way, we're sending to festivals in the US, all over Europe, in Australia, in Latin America, everywhere. So that's the best place to see it for the next year and a half or so. And then we see what happens. You know, when its life has run out in that sense, then we'll be able to put it out there. But if we put it out there publicly now, we're actually we can't apply to a lot of festivals that want a premiere or exclusive showings or even awards, so it would damage the film at this stage to make it available publicly.
Okay. And I'm just thinking it's great to see, and this is something that's happened as a result of COVID, a revival in outdoor movie showing. And it's become huge in the States, it's become huge all over Europe. We're beginning to do it here now, and the only unfortunate thing about it is that we don't always get the kind of summers we've just had or having. Would you like to see more outdoor stuff?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, the way the FLA organized this was absolutely brilliant, because we're under two big marquees. Most of the seats, there were some of them that were outside, so even when the rain came, Elizabeth, afterwards in the program, we're able to get inside. And the sound setup and the screen setup was absolutely brilliant. So there's a lot of technical jiggery-pokery that has to go behind it to be able to look good and to sound good, just like the Galway Film FLA did it. I would love it. I really love it. I found out only recently, actually, that my paternal granddad, had an outdoor cinema in Seville, where I'm from, for a while.
Wow.
But, yeah, his kids kept getting in all their friends in for free, so he wasn't making any money. but that's something that was quite popular there before. I haven't seen it in ages. It's the opposite problem there in the south of Spain, particularly in Seville, which is like an oven in the summer. You can't be outside. You know, it's too hot to be outside. So you want a nice refrigerated or, you know, air-conditioned cinema. No, not refrigerated. But I think it's a lovely idea. It's a great atmosphere. And nobody really wants to be inside too much in the summer. You know, it's nice to be out.
Yeah, funny enough, I was talking to somebody yesterday who just got back from the west of Ireland, and they were saying that they were telling me about the storms that they had, and a couple of really bad thunderstorms, and trying to tell them that we had nothing here. Even last night, we were supposed to get something last night, and nothing happened.
I was
disappointed, because I love thunder. And like, adore it. It's very cinematic.
It is. It was actually a few of the shorts in the program. This was the Screen Ireland program, were kind of scary as well. And when the thunder started, a few of us were looking around going, is that in the film or is that outside? What's going on? Because it really suited. A few people are quite scared of thunder, I have to say. The mother of one of our crew members was quite scared of thunder, so she looked at my umbrella and she said, put it away now, put it away. You're gonna, you know, because we had very dramatic lightning there on the west of Ireland as well just before. We're not getting anything like that here back in Dublin at all. But I quite like it. I really like summer rain. I think it's really nice, particularly after the really extreme heat that we've had. It's nice to have a bit of a reprieve.
Absolutely. And in the last minute or so that we have left, Letitia, what next for you?
Well, for us, there's that series that we're developing with Wattie Jr., which it is for 7 to 11-year-olds. That's the thing with animation. You're going to get more funding for children's animation than for adults. It's still really cheeky and it's funny, because that's what we like. Myself, particularly, I'm developing a feature, live-action feature script with producer Julie Ryan for MK1, from MK1 Productions. So that's where I'm going. I'm kind of developing my work as a writer-director for live-action, and we have other ideas in place. So we're prepping a short of mine to do maybe the very end of the summer or the beginning of the autumn, and in animation, further short content and the series. So that's where our focus is at the moment.
And I can certainly vouch for the work you do in Clóistigh, Letitia, because I am a former pupil of yours.
You said way back. It's hard to remember everybody because it's been so many years. I was out two years and then I'm back again.
All right,
I have to kind of think about the whole class and then go, all right, I know.
Back in 2007, 2008, thereabouts.
Yeah.
Well, am I that old? Anyway, Letitia, it's been an absolute joy talking to you this morning, and the very best of luck with Lady Betty.
Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure talking
and
to you.
And a huge
as well.
Well done. I know the work that goes into these things. By God, it's
thanks
huge and it's massive. And whatever success you get from it, you deserve. Trust me.
Thanks a million. That's great.
So thank you, Letitia. So thank you. Bye bye.
Bye now. Bye bye.
Bye bye. And I was joined there by filmmaker Letitia Agudo.